You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
So we're using two different scripture passages today from the lectionary. Lectionary, is that a new word, foreign word, crazy word? Some of you know what it is. So it's a kind of a overall, overarching biblical guide of different readings from the New Testament, Old Testament, Psalms, that exactly where it came from. David would know. I'm feeling the absence of David right now, right? But the lectionary has been with us for a long time. It gives our churches kind of a sense of direction of what to do. And it was amazing that today on your graduation Sunday, we were celebrating all these passages that kind of talk about deep truths, that talk about next steps, that talk about big dreams, that talk about what happens next. And they're both written by authors named John, right? We've got John, the gospel writer, and John of Patmos, who was like this really crazy dude who ended up on an island in prison, stranded, and he writes this amazing book of poetry, kind of like y'all remember Ecclesiastes last week. Ecclesiastes is a book of poetry. Turns out Revelation is the same kind of thing. It's not just poetry. It's this beautiful allegorical story that talks about what happens when God's power moves through our lives and what to look for as people who are engaged in kingdom building work all the time. And there are ways in which to read Revelation as kind of like a crazy book. Have any of you read it cover to cover? Okay, homework for this week. Go and read it cover to cover. No, I'm just kidding. You really don't have to do that. And it's a fascinating read because even though it may not speak to where we are today, it does ask a question. What does it mean that the church speaks to people in captivity about such an abrupt change in the world? Revelation was written for an oppressed community that was experiencing incredible discrimination, that was being wiped off the map. It is a book that speaks of what it means to hope for something even beyond what we can see. And what's interesting about that is, at this time of celebrating graduation, I don't know what it's like for y'all today, but I remember when I graduated, I was definitely hoping for something beyond all hope. I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to get through tomorrow, let alone college. I can't even imagine that. And somehow, I got here. And so as you hear the words today, what does it mean to think beyond where we are, to dream bigger than we've ever dreamed before, to dream God-sized dreams? And then, of course, we have the book of John, that amazing, amazingly intricate piece of writing that calls us into this deeply resonant type of spirituality that even Christians disagree about. John is an incredibly controversial book because of the kinds of stories and the kinds of living that it evokes. It seems to sometimes even want to pull the Christian out of the world, speak of the Christian as someone living above the world, when what we hear today is actually the deepest call for us as people struggling with the Word of God to live in the world, with the world. And so what is it that God is calling to us to do as we dream these God-sized dreams? And I think it's interesting that these two passages are put side by side. So as you hear them, I invite you to listen to those for those things that resonate with you. Are there passages, sentences? Is there just one word? Is there a story? Listen for the things that resonate with you as we hear these scripture this morning.
Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." From John chapter 13, verse 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
These are two really big scripture passages. We're dealing with some of the biggest concepts, but we're gonna take this one step at a time, so don't worry. So what I'd like to do first, for those of you who were here last week, you remember that I asked you questions and asked you to share with each other. I got a little feedback on that. What I'd like to do this time is, you have that scripture in front of you. I'd like you to take a moment in your bulletin, or if you want to pull it up on your cell phone or wherever you have it, I want you to take a moment, or I bet, can we pull it back up on the screen? Awesome. I want you to take a moment to find the words and phrases in the Revelation passage. Let's start with that one, that really are speaking to you this morning. What are the words or the phrases in that passage that are speaking to you? And if nothing is speaking to you, that is okay. That is God speaking to you. So I'm going to give you about a minute to read over that and find what's resonating for you. Now, what I would like you to do is turn to two people or three people around you, and I'd like you to share which word or phrase of that passage spoke to you, resonated with you. And if none spoke to you, share that as well. Share with each other what it was that touched you in this. And if you feel uber courageous, maybe share why. Thumbs up, thumbs down? What do we think? We can give this a try?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Man, I love that. And all God's people said, amen. What was speaking to you? What did you hear from each other about this passage? Nothing. You heard nothing. The deafening sound of silence. Okay, good.
Well, I had gravitated to "See, I am making all things new."
Uh-huh.
And I connect that with
ooh, glory, yes. "Behold, I am making all things new." And how that's connected both to the world and to the church, yeah. What else? Who else? Who next? Yes. Amen, sister.
Thank you.
Well, two of us in our little group of three here were moved by the second paragraph. Karen, because it reminded her that God is everywhere. God is home, right here, everywhere that we are. And for me, these words remind me to get out of my own head.
Yeah, amen. Wow. Who else? How many of you actually need to get out of your own head a little bit? Yeah, amen. Wow.
For us, it was, I see a new heaven and a new earth, because we see a need for a new heaven and a new earth. This one doesn't seem to be going all that great all the time. And then the home of God is among mortals resonated, because it's like saying the kingdom of God is here and now. It's really, this is our time. This is where we are.
Oof. Yes, amen. I want, come kingdom come, yeah.
Well, we more or less had an agreement on that every day is a new day. And that day is up to you as to what you make of it. And God will be there to help you.
Amen, yeah. What else?
Well, the word generosity came to me in that last sentence. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift. And it brought me to feel that it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah. Amen. Wow.
We kind of like the idea of a clean slate, the fresh start. And then I kind of picked up on the phrase, it is done. So there's no choice about it. Right. It's done, whether you want it to or not. So how you proceed is your choice, how you take advantage of the clean slate.
Yeah, yeah. That's beautiful. So I, there's so much about this passage that resonates with me, but I've been in this place where I've been asking a lot of what-if questions. Y'all ever do the what-if game? Okay, so here are what some of my questions sound like right now. What if the United Methodist Church doesn't change and it keeps its current stance and our conference isn't bold enough to do something different? I won't have a job anymore because I'm one of those folks who aren't allowed to be ordained any longer. So what if I lose my job? I just adopted a one-year-old puppy. She is the cutest thing I have ever seen. Any of you have dogs? Okay, do I have cat people out there? All right, I hear y'all, right? I'm a dog person, but I feel you if you're cat. How about fish people? Do I have fish people? And I know I've got some iguana people. Okay, some turtles, reptile people. So any snakes? I had a good friend of mine who was a snake keeper and a herpetologist, and I thought that was weird. And he taught me that you don't say that to herpetologists because they study lizards, right? They study reptiles. Anyway, but I've been asking a lot of what-if questions, and I got this new puppy. She's just this beautiful little Shiba Inu, Basenji mix. She's super cute. She just loves to get in my face and be like, I love you so much, Mom. And I took her to the vet, and the vet was like, what do you know about this dog? And I said, nothing. I adopted her from Maricopa County Animal Shelter. And he said, I'm sorry. And then he said, and I'm really sorry, because your baby girl, she has end-stage kidney failure. And I was like, well, what if she dies? And he said, yes, that's the right question. The better question is, how much time? So you've got some time. I was like, man, this, what if? And then, of course, I work at the conference, this big organization that most people hate. If you know the conference at all, we are the evil empire of the United Methodist Church. I mean, like, we've got the rebel forces coming at us all the time, and I'm like, we are not the Death Star! But people think we are, and that's okay. I get it. Well, right now, we're preparing for annual conference, and my office handles the registration for annual conference. Did any of you register for annual conference already? You probably got an email saying that your payment didn't work. Yep. And my office administrator came into me and she's like, so what if I tell you that we built the form wrong? And I said, that's okay. And she said, what if I tell you that we built the form so that it hasn't been collecting anybody's payments and the 600 people who've registered for so far haven't paid and we're behind in our payments to the hotel? And I said, so is this a what-if question, or is this is happening, and you're framing it this way to see how I'll respond? And she's like, please don't fire me. I said, no, I'm not going to fire you. You're amazing. Mistakes happen, right? But then there are other kinds of what-if questions. Like, those are the big ones in my life, but you guys are dealing with some what-if questions too, right? What are some of the what-if questions in your own life? Deep sigh. How about we do this? I'm going to give you a minute to share the what if question to your small group of talking friends. What's the what if question that is really in your life right now? Got about 20 seconds left, so make sure you're all sharing. The conversation, of course, will continue. I can see it. There's some really vigorous what-if conversations going on. But what are some of the what-ifs that are living in your own life right now? Yes. It's okay. You got this. That was mean of me. I said, you got this. And then I didn't give you the microphone. Try again.
What if we were all able to accept each other?
Oh, I love. Can we get an amen on that one? Woo! Yes, amen. That is a great what-if question. What if we can all learn to accept each other? Yay. Right? I'm going to sit down now. Mic drop. Outstanding. What are some of the other what-if questions?
Philip and Jean are going to Russia this summer. Wow. And Ken and I are going to Greece and Rome. And what if we can't go? What if the plane's late? What if they lose our luggage? What if?
What if the borders get closed? Because we go to war with Iran. No, I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen. What else? Other what if questions? Yes.
Those of you that know me. What if my son doesn't ever graduate from high school and has to live with me forever?
Oh, such a good question. Is Everett here?
No.
That's it. My mom had that question about me too. I don't know if this one's gonna make it, man. God, please just get her through college, high school, so she can get out of the house. I did. I made it. Yes. What other what if questions? Okay.
What if I choose to retire?
Oh, wow. How many of you are in that question right now? What if I choose to retire? How many of you have faced that question before? Okay. Amen, sister.
How do you retire?
Oh, now that's a how, man, that's a how question. You can't ask a how question with a what if question. Yeah, one more.
What if we all practiced our religious beliefs and actually learned how to love one another?
Oh, praise Jesus. Amen. Can we get an amen on that? Woo! Amen. What if? And that, my friend, cuts right to the core of the most meaningful thing that was ever shared to me about this scripture passage from Revelation. So I'm when I started in ministry, I was a seminary student at Candler in Atlanta, and I was working for the Atlanta VA Hospital as a chaplain. And I served mostly the nursing home section. So I was working with some really old veterans, and it was wonderful. Some of the best ministry years of my life were in that hospital. But I was a pretty know-it-all seminary student, 20. I knew everything about the world. I understood how the universe worked, and I was pretty sure that everyone else around me was dumb. I came a long way from high school, let me tell you what. And I'm sitting there, and this guy asked me to read the passage from Revelation, and I was like, he wants to read this? This nonsense written by some dude who was a prisoner on an island? It's just a hallucinogenic nonsense poem. It doesn't have anything to do with real life at all. What a bunch of, and we won't say that word in church, what a bunch of, yeah. And he said, please, chaplain, I really want to hear this passage. So I pulled open my Bible and I started reading it. And as I started reading it, he started saying the words with me. Right? Like, he knew this scripture so well, it just didn't even matter that he was hearing it from someone else. It was coming out from inside his heart. Oh, a new heaven and a new earth. I will dwell with my people. God himself will be among us. God will wipe away every tear. There will be no more pain. There will be no more grief. There will be no more mourning. And this is done. And the thirsty shall never thirst again. We get to the end of that passage, and he says, chaplain, do you think this is true? Do I think it's true? Do I think that there's a new heaven and a new earth emerging or going to fall out of heaven? Do I think that God is going to come to a point where God is really dwelling among us? Or maybe the gospel tells us God already is here, is dwelling among us, is wiping away our tears. Do I really believe in what it says when it says, no more pain, no more grief, no more mourning? Do I believe that? And I said, well, sir, I can see that you believe it. What about this passage speaks to you? And he said, I've seen some of the worst things that human beings can do to each other. I have lived through those things. And I believe that God can make this world new. So I believe it's true. And I asked him, well, how? Right? Typical chaplain question. How does that happen? And he said, one step at a time. And then we come to the passage in John. I have a love-hate relationship with the Gospel of John. I don't know, any of you claim John as your favorite gospel, if you claim gospels as favorites at all? Yeah, so John is still probably my least favorite gospel. I love Mark. Give me the sparse, heart-rending human Jesus any day over this weird alien Jesus from John, right? Kind of Jesus floating along above the world. Everything's fine, and God is within me and part of me and glorified through me, and he himself is myself. Whatever that means. Okay, thanks. Feels about as crazy as John of Patmos who wrote Revelation, right? Except, I think one of the things that the passage of John does is hold up a mirror to us and say, who are you? Who are you right now? Because the only question I'm asking you, I feel Jesus says in this passage, is how are you loving each other? That goes back to your beautiful what if question. How are you loving each other? Does the way that you love and care for one another actually demonstrate the way that I am living and moving in you, the way I am bringing about that new heaven and a new earth? And now, Jesus asked for some pretty crazy stuff in the Gospels, right? What are some of the things Jesus asked us to do? The crazy things. I'm not talking about the easy things. I'm talking about the crazy things.
Love our enemies.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy, Jesus. Love our enemies? Oh, please. What else? What other hard things Jesus asks us to do?
Turn the other cheek.
Oh, turn the other cheek. Man, yeah.
Give up all your possessions and follow me.
Oh my goodness, this one's a hard. Give up all your possessions and follow me. Wow. What other hard things? Did I see your hand? Were you like, I want to say, no, never mind. Okay, okay. Okay, what'd she say? Oh, yes, Jesus says that. And how many of you find that super easy to do? No, forgiveness is a hard thing to do. I saw another hand over here. Yes.
Lay down your life for your brother.
Lay down your life for your brother. Jesus asks us, in fact, says, not only this, right? I want you disciples to feed my 5,000 people. I want you, Peter, to get out of the boat and walk on water to me. I want you to heal the sick and to feed the hungry and to cause the blind to see. And the whole way through, the disciples are like, uh-huh. Whatever, Jesus. You okay. And yet, Jesus is evoking in those disciples that bigger image, the God-sized dream of what could happen if we are walking into that new heaven and a new earth. And in this passage in John, Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. All those other commandments, but you need to hear this one, right? It's your mission statement, friends. You guys say it every Sunday, right? I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Love first. Love. And when I think about that call, all the rest of the what ifs that I'm struggling with kind of seem to narrow down to one thing. One thing that actually my administrative assistant said to me in the midst of our what-ifs this week over the mountain of work we're trying to accomplish with just two of us. Two people for a staff for a conference of 30,000. It's challenging. It's challenging. Let's say that. So we're sitting there, what if, what if, what if? And she says, you know what, Beth? I really think that none of these what-if questions matter. The only question that matters is, with God? And then she said, we're going to get this done, but we're going to do it one step at a time. So, those of you who are graduating, you've just taken a really big step. And those of you who are getting ready to go on to school, you're taking another really big step. And all of us, retirement, vacationers, people with children, all of you have another big step in front of you, whether it's this big or this big. The question is, can you take it with God one step at a time? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.